All right. Tonight, our message is entitled Remain Faithful. One of the hardest things for most of us to do, and that's to remain faithful in the service of the Lord. Over the years, I'm sure you, like me, have seen many others. Many start out their Christian life on fire and just trying to do everything. Then gradually, they're pulled back into the world. And a lot of times, they just simply join the Sunday morning crowd of Christians doing nothing but warming a pew. Now, this is not just a modern-day problem. It has been a problem since the creation of man. It happened when Adam, when he was willing to serve God and did it willingly, without question, until God gave him a helpmate. And then all of a sudden, what she said became more important than what God says. It was at this point sin and rebellion entered into the world. And with that, hell was redesigned to accept sinners unwilling to submit to God. God actually enlarged hell from the original hell. In Isaiah 5:14 and 15, don't need to turn there, it just, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure in their glory and their multitude and their pomp and their, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. Won't that be something someday to stand by? I mean, we are going to have to stand there, but I hate to see the person that has to stand there and say, God, tell you, I never knew you. But anyhow, God wants all of us to serve him, and he's given us the instruction manual, praise the Lord, on how to live our lives and what he expects of us. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Colossians. Colossians, we're going to look at Colossians 2, 6 through 8. 6 through 8. Colossians 2, beginning in verse 6. The Bible says, as ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye might have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you tonight, Lord, for our many blessings. I thank you once again for being our God, being our Savior. I thank you for this great church, Lord, and in the future that I know you have planned for us here, Lord. Help us to be patient. Help us to be in your will and not our own. And Lord, I pray tonight as we have this Bible study, Lord, that you would just watch out for each of us. And Lord, give us all the strength to continue in the way you would have us to go. And Lord, I pray you'd help me tonight, because we know what we do comes back, what we say today will not come back void. I pray now that you bless the message and the messenger. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross. We'll give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name. For the sake. Amen. Now, you know, if we begin to feel ourselves pulling away from God, and we all do it sometimes or the other. I don't know about you, but I have a problem with it at times. But it's very important for us to realize the danger of getting involved and even allowing anything to draw us away from the Almighty God. You see, God is a force that you and I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And it's not something anybody should take lightly. Because in Galatians 6:7, it says, be not deceived. In other words, don't kid yourself. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, if we're living our lives in the last day, and I believe we are, we're living in some very dangerous times. And if you don't believe me, just look around at the world, and even churches in the world. In many cases, the church has evolved in the last 2,000 years into something completely opposite of what God wanted his church to be. The New Testament started out being led by the apostles at that time, or the pastors, who were being led by Christ. Today, even a few of the more conservative churches have evolved into a deacon-pastor-run church. And in many cases, our deacon-run churches, That, my friend, is so unbiblical. I don't know how in the world the church can think that. But I had a group in Crestline that really thought that the church ought to make all the decisions, right down to whether you buy a light bulb or not. But but God warns us of these times. And brother, these times are here. 2 Timothy, look at 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. And he's talking to Timothy, who is a young preacher. And he's trying to encourage them. He's trying to tell them, hey, some of your folks out there, they're not going to stick it out with you. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away from their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Now, as we begin to grow, and I know we will, and again, I was reminded of my patience tonight, of which I do have a problem with, but I there's just no doubt in my mind, you know, that we need to be careful then at that point in time and be careful to watch for folks and not be pulled in Satan's plan to destroy Christ's church. As we begin our text tonight, we see that Paul's encouraging these Colossians to continue living their lives according to the way of God. Of course, as always, the words are meant not only for these folks in Colossae, but they were meant for every church and its people today. And as we all know, there's no way you and I can understand the Word of God, and no way anybody can understand the Word of God if they don't open the book. If they don't open their Bible, they have no way of knowing. If all you did is what you hear on Sunday morning, let me tell you, that's not enough. That's not enough. God tells us that this learning how God wants us to live can only be done, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved of God. Now, that's one of the most important things you're going to run into here in this life, and that's to be approved of God. It says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. You can't rightly divide the Word of God if you don't know what it says. Being approved of God absolutely needs to be our number one priority. Amen. It needs to be. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10 says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now, if we think this is not a priority in the eyes of God, just look at what He tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. Just verse 9. And this is one we know. We all know it almost by heart. But let me tell you what. We need to take this into serious consideration. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It doesn't mean just the bad people, the bad Christian or the lazy Christian. This means you and I don't care how spiritual we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone receive the things done in his body, that's done in this life, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, there's a lot of things that people in this world think is good, that it's not going to go anywhere. You know, given animals human rights, now what good is that going to do? Because God didn't make them equal to man. But that's just an example. That people think they're doing a wonderful job saving a whale, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be doing that, okay? But what I am saying, that we will stand accountable for what we have done for Christ. Only what's done for Christ is last. You see, that really slams home the need for every Christian to have a good study and reading program in their day-to-day life. It just needs to be. As we look at the first two verses of our text tonight, we see Paul encouraging the people to continue in the faith. Once again, you can only, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Colossians 2, our first verse of our text tonight, first two verses. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ. In other words, you've been born again. You've received Christ. Now, it says, so walk you in Him. If you've really accepted Christ, why aren't we walking with Christ, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving? Now, the first thing we see Paul talking here is, he's talking to people that have trusted Christ. Paul's telling them and he's telling us that we are to follow biblical principle in every single facet of our lives that we can. We cannot be perfect, we know that. But we are being warned about being drawn in to worldly things and not enduring sound biblical teachings. It says, establishing the faith that you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now think about that for a minute. God commands us to make Christ an example in their life. It says he that, in 1 John 2:6, he says that he that saith he abideth in him ought to also so to walk, even as he walked. We're to be Christ-like. Now, if we're to walk like Christ, then we must know the examples Christ has set for you and I, and the things He has said to you and I. Now, I'm not going to stop talking about what He said audibly. I'm talking about He inspired this whole book. He inspired the whole King James Bible. Every word in the King James Bible is exactly the way God inspired it to be. And if the folks that want to call another book a Bible, and it's got a copyright, that means something's changed. And what's changed cannot be the same. And God says, my word will never change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I don't care what people say. They can call anything they want the Bible. But they don't have the real word of God. Now, if you and I are to walk like Christ, then we have to know the examples He set. Now, Paul's telling these people in Corinth, or Colossae, that they need to get themselves grounded in the faith. Look at Colossians 2:7. It says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught. In other words, get your life rooted in the Word of God. The Word of God ought to be the most important thing we have. And then it says, establishing the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, some folks probably think that wavering and allowing themselves to be led away from sound doctrine, they need to be encouraged away from unbiblical things and get started in the right direction. That's something you and I, as Christians, we need to do. If we got somebody in this church that are not following biblical principles, now, we're not to judge. We're not a judge at all. But we are also told that we're to help those weaker Christians. Now, we all know that in the days like today, there's going to be those trying to pervert people in the church. I've said it over and over. Somebody comes to you and wants you to join them in something unbiblical that you know is unbiblical. No matter how reasonable it sounds, get away. Just say, I'm not interested. The Bible refers to these people as ravening wolves in Matthew 7:15-16. It says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You see, we can look around at all these so-called religions that we have. We have probably every kind of doctrine going on in the Ashland and Mansfield area. Everything. But unless they are a fundamental Bible-believing, don't have to be a Baptist, but you have to be Bible-believing. You have to be born again. And if that is not being taught, there's some of the wolves. If you're being taught that you have to be baptized to be saved, if you're being taught that you have to be baptized when you're a baby, if you're taught that anything other than Christ, Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So He's telling us straight out that water's not going to do it, works aren't going to do it, only He can do it. Now He goes on, if you think about it, He tells us we're to be thankful. We're to get ourselves grounded and established in the true doctrine. And when we've accomplished that, okay, when we have accomplished that, we have something to be thankful for. It says in Colossians 2:7, abounding. That means producing fruit. That means serving God, serving Him in whatever capacity we can serve Him in, whatever we've been called to do, we should be doing it. We should be producing fruit. We should be doing something. And then He says that we should be giving thanks when we do it. In other words, we ought to, just like all these tracts got labels put on them. We need to be thankful. The folks that did it are thankful. And what a precious thing that was. And it's just, these are the things Christ is talking about. Be thankful in everything we do. We need to be thankful if we clean the church, if we do this, we do that, we mow the yard, whatever. We should thank God that we have the ability to do so. God establishes, and He makes us a promise of peace to those that are thankful. You see, I look at my dear wife Jeannie laying there. How can a guy be thankful for that? But you know, you have to be, because you know it's the will of God. It's not my will, it's not your will, but it is the will of God. And as hard as it is to be thankful, I try, but I'm not always as thankful as I should be, I know. But it tells us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, to be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now we do this, okay? We request. Then He says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. See, if we can accept and we can praise Him and we can thank Him for what's going on in our lives instead of complaining, then God says, I'll give you a peace that you can't understand. And I've been there. I understand what He's talking about here. I've had that peace. I'm not saying I have it now. I'm saying that I have had it at times in my life, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place to be, folks. But we need to be thankful for whatever's going on. Way too many times we tend to be thankful for the things that we like, and especially our salvation in a biblical church, because we're not thankful for the things of God when we're out of the will of God. You won't be thankful. No Christian can ever be truly happy if he or she's out of the will of God. My wife don't like it, but it just ain't going to happen. You know, you just can't be happy out of the will of God if you're a Christian. Now, people that are not well grounded in the Word of God are putting themselves in a position. They're putting themselves in a position to be deceived by the great deceiver. He's good at it. He's been doing it for years. Like I say, look around this town. Look at all the false doctrine that's being taught in this town. I'm not saying Bailiwicks, because we're the only church in Bailiwicks, but be that as it may, you look around at the churches, it says in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, now look at that for a minute, after the tradition of men. How many churches do you know? My very first church that I went into, the very first Sunday, one of the deacons come up to me, and he pulled his basket out from underneath, just a little round basket you kids would carry eggs in. Now he says, every day now you got to wave this. I said, what do you mean wave it? He said, oh yeah, we've all got our prayer requests in there, and the pastor has always waved it. I says, well, I'm sorry, man, but that also ain't going to happen. I don't wave things like that. You know, it's not a wave offering. But be that as it may, it was tradition. All kinds of traditions get started in churches. And we need to understand that traditions are not the important thing. What this church has done yesterday, or what we've done in the past, we can't make it a tradition. We have to continue as we are following the Word of God. Now, I had a person, nobody from here, but I was talking to somebody, and I really was amazed. But this guy said that a church should be run like a business. Now, that shocks me. That tells me that he did not understand. And I just wonder, I didn't ask him, but I wonder what version of the Bible he got that out of. You know, the statement really drives home our need to study and to really understand that this is not a business. I mean, it's God's business, but it's not our business. In order to really understand that it is the business of God, we need to be separated from the world. God tells us that. We can't live in the world and understand God completely. It says, wherefore, come out from us. This is 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. It says, wherefore, come out from among them and be separate. Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You see, Paul wanted, when he wrote this, when God wrote this through the pen of Paul, God wanted us to realize that there is nothing in the church that should resemble the world. Nothing in this church needs to resemble the world. That goes for our music, that goes for the Bible, that goes for what we do. This is Christ's church. It's not the world. We are separate. And that's what he tells them in Colossians 2:8, or last verse. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. You see, some of the after traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ, you see, some people can twist things around to make the worst thing sound like the best thing. So you and I need to be able to separate that. We need to be able to figure out what's going on there. Jesus tells us in Mark 7, 6 and 9, 6 through 9, about how his priests of his time, they had quit teaching. They had quit teaching God's word. They had quit teaching, and they began teaching what their ancestors did, what the preacher before them did, and the priest before them. And all of a sudden, that became like washing of pots and all these things. All of a sudden, that became a part of the doctrine. The only doctrine we have is what the Word of God gives us. He said in the end, this is Jesus talking to the priest back in Mark 7, 6 through 9. And he answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias promised, prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips. Listen closely, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, these things of priests, you know, they were very religious in their traditions. But what does God say as we continue in Mark 7, verse 7? It says, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, you got to wash that pot. You got to wash your hands before you eat. If you remember, you know, the priest got after the Jesus' disciples for eating some corn without having their hands washed. It says, for laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the traditions of men as a washing of pots and cups and many other such things like you do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. You see, the problem with these priests were they were not grounded in the Scripture. They were grounded in what happened last year, 10 years ago, what the priests before them. But they forgot what God taught them. They need to believe in him. I hate to keep bringing this one church up, but when I first went there, I preached the message out of the Old Testament. And again, one of the deacons come up to me and he says, now, Pastor, you know, I won't name the pastor, but he had been there for a lot of years. He says, now, you don't need to teach out of the Old Testament. That's done away with. I said, what do you mean? Oh, no, he says, we teach out of the New Testament. Pastor so-and-so said the Old Testament is over and done with. Can you imagine being taught that? Being taught, I says, well, I'm sorry, man. I preach the whole counsel of God. If it comes out of the Old Testament, it comes out of Psalms, it comes out of Proverbs, it comes out of Ecclesiastes, Deuteronomy, I don't care. I'm going to teach the Word of God. He wasn't happy, but I stayed there for a lot of years. And it wasn't long till they began to understand that the Old Testament and the New Testament are all intertwined. They're not separate. See, in the days of Paul, a lot of people were teaching false doctrine just like they are today. And Paul wanted these people to be so well versed in the Word of God that the traditions of men could not sway them. In the majority of Paul's letter, he deals with the teachers of false doctors. The same problems exist today to those that do not even know the doctrine of God. And some Christians don't know it well enough that they can't be led astray. Now, Paul mentions in Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 that there are some that are just going to skip around. It's going to depend. I'm going to go to this church. And you know people. We've had people here. They go to every church. You know, they go to the Methodist tomorrow, they'll go to the Presbyterian, then they'll go to the Catholic Church, and then they'll go to the... How do you get anything out of that? But here, it tells us that there's going to be those folks that skip from one thing to the other. Look at Ephesians 4, 14 through 15. Ephesians 4, beginning in 14. It says in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even to Christ. You see, we strengthen our faith. When we read the Word of God, we strengthen our faith when we all come together as a church. When we're united, don't need to turn there, but Ephesians 4, 13 and 15, 13 through 15, I'm just going to read that to you. It says, till we all come in unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the statutes of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know, I wonder tonight, I know we all struggle at times making God the priority in our life, making him first. And I know there's lots of things going on in our lives that we have to take care of, and God understands that. But help us not to keep our faith and be thankful for the things that he's given us. Be thankful. Whatever's going on, there's a reason. It says, for all things are for our sakes. So tonight, we're going to do